poor college student looking to buy cheap furniture on Craigslist is given a small wooden box.
Inside contains a film reel and four rather old-looking pictures of a creepy old person in creepy positions doing creepy things, each with the word Bitterroot written on the back.
Who is this person in these pictures? Who is filming the video? What's in the bag wrapped in ropes and chains? Why is it just so creepy? Like, super old person creepy. Find out on Still Unsolved!
Still Unsolved.
Welcome to Still Unsolved. My name is Joseph Condi.
And I'm Peter Crawford.
And sadly we're missing Austin this week, but we got lots of stuff going on here at TCC.
Hopefully I'll stand in his position well. I think I was on one episode before. About the who put Bella in the witch elm.
You're a paranormal expert.
I am a paranormal expert of sorts.
Over 10,000 hours of paranormal research.
I have my
solitary confinement.
I have my PhD in paranormal studies. The P stands for paranormal.
Paranormal HD.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like it. High def.
Mm-hmm.
So this month we're going to be talking about the Bitterroot footage. And if you've seen it or heard of it, it's pretty fucking creepy.
It's probably, in my studies of paranormal creepy things, one of the most creepy, I'd have to say.
So, basically it all starts with this kid, Chad. He's a student at a university in New York. And on a college student's income and savings, is forced to find furniture to try and fill a small studio apartment.
And speaking as a person who went through so much college,
over 30 years of college.
Twice.
Several decades.
My best friend was Craigslist.
Yeah, and that's where Chad meets this dude who is selling furniture and other odds and ends at supremely low prices.
In bulk,
in
right?
bulk. So if you buy something, he gives you just a whole bunch of other stuff.
It's like, here's $5, here's a table full of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much. It's kind of cool, I guess, but anyway, he starts going through it, and most of it seems to be pretty useless. Except he finds this wooden box, this small wooden box. And so he gets home, and he opens it up, with a screwdriver, apparently.
Yeah, because it was locked. There was a lock on it.
And inside finds a film reel and four antique, vintage-looking, like, you know, definitely aged.
They look like they came from really early, like 20th century, 1910 to 1930.
They look legit, and they look old as fuck. So he's looking at these supremely creepy pictures, and looking here, you got one it's a picture of what looks like something wrapped in like a cloth or like a bed sheet.
Yeah, it looks almost like, well, first of all four of the pictures take place that looks like in this dilapidated house.
Right. Which, and if you watch the video, which we'll talk about in a second, it all takes place inside this really dilapidated, very old-looking house. But the first picture, it looks like this thing is whatever it's wrapped in a bedsheet or whatever, is then wrapped again in ropes and chains.
Yeah.
And it's next to a very old-looking sink. The picture itself even looks worn. There's a crease in the middle, where it looks like it's been sitting that way for a long time.
But the object looks mysteriously body-shaped.
Yes, definitely body-shaped. Definitely something stuffed inside a whole bedsheet. The next picture is looks like there's a person in like a cloak with a hood, standing. Now,
and I believe they have a cane as well.
Do you see a cane?
They have something in their left hand.
Yeah, they're holding something up. You can see their elbows is.
But the picture is very dark. It's a very dark picture.
But if you look at this one, it looks as though. Like in the background, right by his
hand. It almost looks like a face.
Like a face, right, yeah.
Or like a reflection of someone taking the picture.
And they look young ish from here, what you can see.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll post links to all the pictures. And then, so the next picture, it looks like that same person is walking in the woods. Like it looks like the person who's filming or taking the picture. It's behind a tree.
It almost looks like a candid, like, I don't know, like they're
following them and they didn't
know.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And then the last picture is the creepiest one. The last picture.
And I can't really put my finger on why it's so creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the same, like, cloaked, hooded figure, like, in the house, leaning up against a wall, and they just look decrepit, and like the body just doesn't look right.
Yeah, they're like sitting at a weird angle. Their face looks like they may have noticed that this person is taking a picture and is like looking at them. Right? Does that look like a mouth? And it's like, you know, like, oh, what are you doing? But it's super creepy.
Yeah, it could either be that or. I kind of see it, like, it kind of looks like they're wearing, like, a white scarf or something over the bottom of their face.
Maybe, yeah.
And you can only see the person's eyes, but it's just really dark and shadowy.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's strange, and it looks like it's in a very dilapidated doorway with boards and other things on the ground. It's definitely creepy. And so then, you have these four images, each with the word Bitterroot written on the back.
Mm-hmm. In pencil or graphite or something.
Bitterroot is a flower. I imagine it's bitter.
It's also, I think it's a location. I think they're like the Bitterroot Mountains.
Oh, okay. But also in this box was an 8mm film.
Yeah, it's a mountain range in Montana.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. But yeah, this kid doesn't have the experience needed to be able to watch this 8mm film.
Yeah, initially he keeps it on a shelf because it just looks cool.
He used it as a decoration. Yeah. And so he gets together with one of his friends, and this is where part of it becomes kind of a conspiracy theory. His name's Dario. And Dario's a film student. Dario helps him... find out that it's 8mm.
He identifies the film.
He helps him splice the footage back together. Because after they got a projector off eBay, they found that some of the parts skipped. So they actually had to splice it together. So that's when you're watching the video, you'll see it why it skips so much. Apparently, the original video is 12 minutes. The one that's online is just under 5. So, you watch it and it's basically 4... or 5 locations, but most of them reference these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where you can watch at the end, you see the cloaked figure walking through the woods, holding a smaller version of that sack, sack.
It was like the same thing wrapped around the sack in that one picture.
And he drops it into, or she, or whatever it is, drops it into a ravine or a ditch.
Little creek, something.
As the person walks away, the person who's filming walks up behind it and looks inside the bag to, apparently some say it looks like a severed human head. I didn't really see anything.
When I watched the footage, it was very quick and the person looked in the bag and immediately, like upon like the first second just opening the bag, is horrified or something and just sprints the other way.
Yeah. It's very horror film-y, found footage-y. Like, I could see why a lot of people don't buy into this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really buy into it. I think somebody made it for, like,
Because honestly, it probably would not be that hard to go and find some old 8mm film and a camera and
I have one in the closet. I literally have an 8mm camera in the closet. They're not hard to get, and they're definitely not hard to film on. But it takes a lot of effort to then rip that from an 8mm tape to digitize it and then edit it and then make it look older than it really is. Mm-hmm. But the photos are what get me. They don't look like they were faked.
Yeah, the photos look authentic, yeah.
If they did fake them, that's fucking awesome. I don't know how you did that.
It's a brilliant hoax, yeah.
It's a brilliant hoax. Whoever did it definitely put a lot of effort into this. Even looking at the film canister, even looks old.
It looks old. It's covered in dirt.
Like, they had to definitely get all these parts. Maybe he was just like, hey, let's write a story. I have these.
But the thing is,
I have this old camera.
There is a website. I think the guy made a website for it.
He did. It's very minimalistic.
But the thing is, if I were a person and I were to had the skills and I went to the effort to make this thing, I would probably try to monetize it in some way. Like, I don't know, put ads on the website or make it, like, some people claim it's like a viral ad for a movie, but no movie has come out of this. Like, no movie has been tied to this whatsoever. So it seems to me the authenticity of it is kind of backed up by the fact that it doesn't seem like someone's capitalizing on it.
Right. It's purely for internet hoax purposes, or just, you know, a creative expression to make people be like, is it real or is it not real?
Yeah.
Taking part in writing on No Sleep is the same thing. You know, there's no real benefit to it, but the really good ones get turned into this internet mythos, mm-hmm. of like things that exist in our imaginations and for real online, but they're not real in our reality. And I think this is just an addition.
It becomes more about the story itself and whether or not it's true.
Yeah, exactly. It's more about just like the fun of making something creepy and creeping people out and having them second guess their own reality and like what's actually going on around them.
Yeah, making you think.
Making you think. And that's the best any hoaxer can do. There are some other theories that it's real and that this person found haunted footage of some kind of sinister act.
Yeah.
He said in some of the other scenes that they had to cut out, there were numerous body parts.
We didn't describe the footage in full. Do we want to describe it or let listeners go see it for themselves?
I'd let them go see it for themselves. I mean, the shock and awe of the footage, it shouldn't be prepared for
it. It's hard to describe.
Yeah. It is hard to describe.
You can't,
Because you're kind of going, I'm looking for this, and they're paying attention to something else, and, you know, people don't get the full value for it.
So everyone listening, go pause this and go watch the footage.
Yeah, we'll break right here.
We'll be here when you get back.
We'll pause. All right.
Welcome back. Hey, that was some creepy footage, right?
How was that footage? That was crazy footage, right? Crazy footage.
Yeah.
Now you know what we're talking about. That. Why?
Yeah, I think to me, it, I mean, and this is kind of the easy thing to say, especially in modern day when there's so many movies about this kind of subject. It's like, it looks to me, it could be like some kind of cult ritual of some sort, like a sacrifice, maybe something like that. But then again, why was there only one person?
Why was there only one person there? Why was there only one person filming? There are plenty of points in it where it looks like the person that's in the cloak knows that the person that's filming is there. They're in front of them. It's not like they're very far away, hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's,
Also, the camera would have made noise.
Right.
Filming it.
Yeah, it would have been making a clicking sound the entire time it's filming. So, you know, it's just like, what is this for?
It could just be a snuff film from the 1930s. It could be...
Could be a weird-ass snuff film from the 1930s.
A weird kink in the 1930s these people had in Bitterroot, Montana.
Oh, great, because it is a real place. So, I'll share this story. This is a pretty crazy story. I used to work at a place where basically convalescents, people who couldn't live on their own, people who lived in special houses, and they're taken care of every day by people. Reading through their like patient files and their history and where they came from and all that stuff, you're given access to all these things. Some of them are insane. And one of them that always stood out to me was this guy. I won't share his name, mainly because I don't remember it. I want to say it was like Tom or something, but it's not.
You might have to bleep that.
He was normal. He came out, was born completely normal. No brain, injuries, nothing crazy. He is like 8 or 10 years old, something like that. And he was riding his bike. And he didn't come home for dinner. So his parents went out to look for him after he didn't show up for a little while. And they found him in a ditch close to a patch of woods. And his pants were around his ankles. He looked like he had been bleeding. He was laying in the ditch, holding his arms, rocking back and forth, saying, "The men in the black hoods, the men in the black hoods, the men in the black hoods."
Jeez, that's creepy.
And that's all he ever said ever again. That's all he would say. You would say hi to him, and he would mumble something of that sort to you. Over the years, it had become distorted, kind of like Hodor from Game of Thrones. Like, originally that was "hold the door," then it became Hodor. That's the only thing he could say. This is a lot like what that guy sounded like, except much more destroyed. You know, yeah. Hodor could understand what was going on and could follow instructions. This guy could not. You know, he was in a special school at 50 or 60
just,
years old.
Just broken.
Just trying to be able to brush his teeth every day. And they found, a few years later, this girl actually got killed near there. And they found her body as part of left on like almost like a ceremonial
altar. Yeah.
They actually arrested 5 or 6 people that were connected to a satanic cult.
Jesus.
So they literally sacrificed this person in the woods. And it was near the same woods where this kid was, albeit probably 35 years before that happened.
Still, I mean.
But still. So that just even paints a larger picture that shit's been going on, you know, in upstate New York for a long time. So this, I mean, easily could be something that's real, but what the fuck is it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just doesn't show much more besides shock and awe.
Yeah, and that's one thing we kind of struggled with, is we couldn't really find any more information on it. Nobody had any other information on it.
And it's just what this Chad guy has put out on the internet about, you know, his story and just his reaction over the last few years. And granted, this was posted in 2012, so it's been up for 5 years. So no movie has been made from it. No further information has come out about it. No one's really grabbed hold of it. And the fact that, you know, it's conveniently cut in different places to give it that shock and awe, but just points to,
I don't know,
probably fake.
There's points for both sides.
There really is.
Like, because, yeah, you could hoax this whole thing kind of easily. Like, if you're a film student and you know your film, you can do that kind of thing. But at the same time, why?
Yeah. I mean, unless you are making a movie that's going to...
Like viral marketing or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, this would be a great trailer for whatever, or a teaser about a movie that's coming out about found footage. A couple of the theories pointed to the guy, his friend, Dario, who was actually the film student. Because Chad doesn't say he was a film student. He said his friend, Dario, was a film student.
Yes.
This theory says... could be a nod to Italian horror auteur Dario Argento, a director known for his unsettling first-person point-of-view camera work. And that's from the lineup.com, which is wrote this article about the bitterroot footage. So that's kind of cool. I would never have put that together. That there was even a film guy that, you know, that's a nod to. Maybe Chad really just, he went to a film school and he just decided to make this as a passion project.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he figured out a way to fake those pictures. Bitterroot sounds like a really cool, enticing title. It sounds a little creepy. Very ambiguous. Like, it could mean a lot of different things.
Like, yeah, exactly. It could be a mountain range in Montana. It could be a plant. It could be a name of a cult. It could be, I don't know.
It could be anything. And horror generally is the easiest genre to film at a low budget. I mean, as long as you have a 8mm film and a way to forge those pictures.
That's why we have so much schlock in the theaters these days.
That's very true. At least this was kind of original, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see a plot line in it, besides it being creepy, random video footage and pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, since Austin's not here to give, his theory on how the Hulk was responsible for it, I guess we'll just have to go ahead and end it there. But yeah, if you enjoy the show,
yeah, thanks for listening.
We're probably going to start doing bi-monthly releases on, most of our shows, save for a few that are a little bit more labor intensive. But if you like the show, go follow us on Twitter, @_stillunsolved_, I believe, just to make it symmetrical. This has also been a TCC production. So head over to thecompositecreative.com, and check out all the cool stuff that we're putting up there. You might be stopped by an under construction sign, But things are going to be coming soon, so keep checking back. Also, if you want to send us any information about cool stories that you want us to talk about on Still Unsolved, send us an email at podcast@thecompositecreative.com. Peter, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Twitter. I don't tweet much, but you can find me on Twitter @FrightNor. It's the word fright with an N-O-R at the end.
FrightNor.
FrightNor.
Also the name of his D&D character.
Yeah, it's my D&D.
But anyway, listen to that other podcast another time. You can find me on the Twitter @MailHuman. And make sure you check back with us in a month for another episode of Still Unsolved.
The Illuminati is real. Satan bless you all.
And Cthulhu reign for 1,000 years.